Well, good evening, Mission City Church. So glad to have you join us this evening, whether you're there on Facebook Live, whether you're there on YouTube Live. I know you're going to be glad you joined in for our service tonight. Before I introduce who will be speaking tonight, I just want to give you a quick word of encouragement. As I was walking over here to the church, the Lord just dropped a verse in my heart. It's what Peter says. He says this. He says, "Rest your hope fully on the grace that is being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So I just want your hope, your confident assurance to rest completely, to rest fully, to rest totally on the grace of God, on the unmerited favor of God that is being brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know as we open the word this evening, as the bread of life is broken for us, that is what you can be sustained by. That's what you can rest your hope fully on tonight. You don't need to be concerned or worried about anything else going on in the world, about anybody else's word, about anything. Just fix your minds and your hearts on the word of God tonight, and I know you will be blessed. So just a couple quick announcements before we get in the word tonight. The first Wednesday of every night this year have been healing nights. So this is the first Wednesday of April. We're going to have a teaching that is within the realm of healing tonight. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be jumping back into our Wednesday night Bible study, A House for My Name. So get prepared for that in a couple weeks. But next week is Holy Week. And so during Holy Week, we always do not have a Wednesday night service, but we have a Thursday night service and a Friday afternoon service, Good Friday service. So join us for Monday, Thursday next week, for Good Friday next week. I know you will be blessed as we meditate on the wonderful passion of our Lord Jesus Christ in laying down his life for us at the cross. So without further ado, I just want to introduce to you Mike Martin. Mike Martin has been just a vital part of the church here for many years. He's been in pastoral ministry for many decades. Here he's served as the pastor of our couples gathering, the pastor of our youth group, and just he just does a lot of wonderful things for us here at the church, and he does it for you guys, for the saints, because he loves you. So Mike Martin, why don't you come on up and give us a good word.
Hey, I'm excited. You know, I'm always excited when I get the opportunity to share the Word of God. And, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about hope as well. In fact, this morning on my walk in the park, the Lord began to speak to me deeply about hope. And I want you to write this passage down. I want you to remember this passage. If you don't get anything else tonight, get the truth of this passage. Hebrews 6:19. The Bible says that hope is like an anchor to our soul. It's sure and it's steadfast. If you've ever been on a boat that's been anchored in the ocean, you know that although it sways because of the waves and the movement of the water, it won't move from the point that it's anchored in. And when your soul is anchored in the hope of God, you know, life's going to come and storms are going to come and, you know, things are going to hit you and they're going to cause you to sway. But if you're anchored in hope, you will not be moved from where that anchor is. So I want to encourage you to anchor yourself and your soul in the hope of the Lord. Hey, listen, tonight I want to talk to you about the power of the spoken word. And as Pastor Josh mentioned, for the last several months, he's been doing teaching on healing, some remarkable teaching, as a matter of fact, going back, dealing with some of the most prominent healing evangelists and really taking the word apart and sharing the reality of healing in the word. What I want to do tonight is I want to talk to you about the principle of confession or the power of the spoken word. And you know, there's probably no other subject as important to your life than the principle of confession. And here's why. Think about this. How do you receive the things of God? You must hear the word of God concerning the will of God. And I want to remind you what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:17. Here's what he said. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let me ask you a question. Why does faith come when it hears the word of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Why doesn't faith come when it hears the word of Joe? It's quite simple. It's God's faith. Take a look at this. Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. That word measure is metron, meaning it's the exact measure that you need. Now notice, it's God's faith that he gave you. If it wasn't his, he couldn't give it to you. So what the Apostle Paul is actually saying is that we have a measure of God's faith. It is his. If it wasn't, he couldn't have given it to us. Now think about this. When God's faith hears his word, faith comes or it grows. And again, I ask why? Because it is his faith, and his faith can only respond to his word. He doesn't respond to anxiety. He doesn't respond to trouble. He doesn't respond to sadness. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the reason is because it's God's faith, and God's faith only responds to his word. Now, I want you to pay attention to that because it's going to be important as we move on. So based on this, when you say or declare what God says about something, or put another way, when you declare his will, a spiritual transaction takes place. In fact, that's exactly how you receive salvation. I want to share this passage with you, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No what ifs, yeah buts, how about this? He says, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's exactly how you receive your eternal reward. A transaction in heaven took place when you heard the word, you spoke it, you believed it, and confessed it. Now, let me tell you what this word confess means. Most people think of the word confess in a different way. But the word confessed is translated homologio in the Greek. Now, I'm going to teach you just a little bit of Greek tonight. The word homo means the same, and the word logio comes from the Greek word logos, which is the word of God. So the word confess or homologio literally means to speak or say what God says about a subject. So think about it this way. When you hear what God says about salvation, you believe it in your heart, and then you confess it or say what God says about it, faith comes and you are saved, and it's really quite that simple. In fact, you would fight tooth and nail and attempt to prove it to somebody that questioned your salvation. Why? Because you heard the word, you believed it, you confessed it, and you were saved, and the Holy Spirit came, and he became the spirit of adoption and adopted you into the family of God. You heard it, you believed it, you spoke it, that's it. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And then Revelation 21, 27 says, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, meaning you and me. So a couple things that happened here. You became a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. You were reconciled to God, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Now these things occurred, but you can't see them. You can't feel them. You can't touch them. You've never seen the Lamb's book of life, but you believe that your name is in there. Why? Because the word of God says it, and the word of God is confirmed through the power or the revelation of the Holy Spirit, so you're confident in it. The same is true of healing. It's the will of God for you to be healed, period, over and out. When you hear the word of God regarding healing, believe it in your heart, and then confess it, or get this. Remember, confess means to say what God says about something regarding his will. You will be healed. Another aspect of confession is calling things that are not as though they were. We see this in Romans 4, 17 through 22. Stay with me. It says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. And we're talking about Abram, who became Abraham. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver, check that out, get that, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him, meaning Abraham, for righteousness. Here's what happened. You know the story. God called Abram out of his land to go to a land that he would show him. His name was Abram. He changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations, because that's what God was going to do. He was going to develop the nation of Israel. And through Abraham and his seed, the entire world would be blessed. And we're part of that today. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah, his wife's womb, was dead. And so he didn't consider that. He didn't consider that for unbelief. And here's one of the reasons I believe that God changed his name. Because every time Sarah called him Abraham, you know what she was calling him? The father of many nations. Every time somebody said, hey, Abraham, you know what he heard? The father of many nations. You know, in January of 2019, I was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. I had a 3-inch tumor in my head. I had to go in and get it removed. My body was riddled with cancer in my lymph nodes, my lower back, my femur. My eye, the nerve that controls my left eye, was damaged. But I didn't consider all that. Because if I would have considered all that, I would have wavered in unbelief. But I began to speak what the Word of God said. I began to look myself in the mirror and say what the Word of God said. And the night of my surgery, Pastor Josh was led of the Lord to give me a prophetic word, and I won't get into it, but he found a man in the Scriptures named Tobit that was 63 years old, the same age that I was. And the man was blind in one eye, and God healed him. And like I say, it's a long prophecy. I won't go into it right now, but kind of a cute side note. You know what my wife Estelle calls me every time she speaks to me? Not Mike. She calls me Tobit. Why? Because she sees me healed. She sees my eye as singular. She sees the nerve that controls the eye as healed, as new, as when it was created. So I want to encourage you tonight not to call those things that are as they are. You have things in your life, whether it be physical, whether it's mental, whether it's financial, and God wants you to get the revelation of his word, the power of the spoken word, the homologio, saying what God says about something, and letting that be the rule in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. I heard that. Thank you. Now, I got ahead of myself, but that's okay. In other words, God uses spiritual forces which are not seen to nullify natural things that are seen. This is the Bible principle of calling things that are not as though they were. You know, a friend of mine that pastors a great church here in the San Fernando Valley, we talked the other day, and he said, you know, Mike, through this cancer situation, and, you know, I've watched you, you know, your confession, I've watched your approach to it, and even though you're still wearing that patch, I admire you because you call yourself healed. You see, I'm nullifying the things that say I'm not by the confession of my mouth. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, you and I have the same spirit of faith that was given to us. And so it says, I believe and therefore I spoke. So you see, you've got to hear the word, you've got to believe it, and then you speak it. You confess what God says about something. We also believe, and therefore we speak. You know, a lot of people are speaking today. They're just not speaking the right thing. A lot of people are doing what they should be doing. They're just saying the wrong thing. So what I never do is I never say that I have cancer, or I never call it my cancer. Now, some people think that's kind of nutty, but here's why. Because it's not my cancer. I'm not going to own it. I'm not going to confess that it's mine. I'll say that I'm fighting cancer. I'll say that I'm being treated for cancer. I'll say that by the stripes on Jesus' back, I was healed. But I'm not going to call it my cancer. Why? Because I believe and I speak out of what I believe, regardless of what the circumstances look like. My wife Estelle was diagnosed with a rare degenerative disease that attacked the nerves in her outer extremities, hands, feet, and things like that. This was, probably 40 years ago. And the doctor said that she would be crippled by the time she was 50. Doctor told me, Mr. Martin, I hope you love your wife because, you know, you're going to have to take care of her. Well, I'm not going to tell you how old my wife is, but she's not crippled. She works out with weights, she jogs, she walks, and she has never spoken to her body anything except the fact that she is healed. And so I want to encourage you tonight. You may be in a situation that looks hopeless. Hear what God says about it. Get that in your heart and begin to confess that. Begin to say what God says about something. You know, partner up with somebody. Get yourself somebody that will agree with you. You know, a lot of people, their friendship is based on, you know, negativity. Well, don't put up with that. Don't allow that in your life. Understand and know what God says and then begin to speak that. There's a passage in Psalm 118, 17. David said, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And that was a passage that the Lord spoke to me in the hospital. He said, you are not going to die. Hallelujah. That's good news. He says, you're going to live and you're going to declare my works. You're going to declare my glory. So when it comes to divine healing, this is a vital principle. We should declare it to ourselves what God's word reveals about us, regardless of the circumstances or how we feel about it. Now, here's the principle behind speaking the word to yourself. Do you know that you speak to yourself all day long? Yeah. And you know your voice better than anybody else's voice because whatever you say, you believe. I'll give you an example. If you feel like a loser and you've got experiences of losing, and you look in the mirror like many people in the morning when you get up, you say, loser. And I come along and say, hey, good news. You're a winner in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe yourself. Why? Because you have continually told yourself that, and you see yourself as a loser. Now, on the flip side, if you're a winner, you've got a lot of winning experiences. You know that God loves you. He's for you, not against you. He's got a plan and a future for you, wants to prosper you. If I come along and I say, hey, you know what? You're a loser. You're a big loser. Loser. Who are you going to believe? Yeah, that's right. You're going to believe yourself because you have spent the time to hear what God says about who you are. Your identity is in Him, and you've spoken that. And the same is true with our physical bodies. In Romans 10, 6 and 8, Paul says that the righteousness which is of faith, says this, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. I want to ask you tonight, where's the word in your life? Is the word near you? I'm not talking about the Bible on the coffee table or the Bible in the package tray in your car that you toss there on Sunday morning after church. I want to know if the word is near you. And what I mean by that is it near your heart? Are you depositing the word in your heart every day? He says, even in your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? Do a checkup from the neck up. If somebody asked people that know you that you're around a lot, what comes out of your mouth, what would they say? Would they say positive things or they're always negative? And I'm going to make a statement here that if people say there's positive things coming out of your mouth, your life is going to follow that positivity. But if there's always negative things coming out of your mouth, just the same as the others true, your life is going to follow the pattern of that negativity. And what will happen is the way that you get the word in your heart is you speak it. And so whatever you're speaking is lodged in your heart. So the word's got to be near you, then in your mouth, and then in your heart. God's word becomes engrafted into your heart as you speak it. There's nothing more important to your faith than declaring what God has said about you with your own voice. And we've already established that. Giving voice to God's word is a method of calling for things that God has given by promise, which are not yet manifest. Again, I refer to my eye. If I take this patch off, I'll see double. But that doesn't deter me from declaring that I'm healed in Jesus' name. That doesn't deter me from saying that I am seen singular. Just because it hasn't manifested yet is not going to change my confession. So by doing this, you're establishing what God has said to be true concerning healing, even though it may not be manifest in your body. You don't deny that sickness exists. That's stupid. That's foolish. You simply deny its right to exist in your body. Because you have been redeemed from the curse of the law and delivered from the authority of darkness. Peter tells us this awesome truth, 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. His divine power, his power is divine. His power is not limited. His power is not measured. It's unlimited. It's divine. And it says, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of issues in my life. I've got a lot of things going on, and I need his divine power to lead me and guide me and to provide everything I need. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, watch this, catch this, get this, exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen to me. I need to be a partaker of the divine nature as it relates to my eye. And so I'm going to align myself with what the word says. I'm going to check myself from the neck up and make sure that the word is near me. It's in my heart so that it comes out of my mouth so that it becomes lodged in my heart. Are you with me here? Are you getting this? I know you are. And I just want to say, if you have a prayer request, go ahead and send it in. Go ahead and type it in there. We want to pray with you. We want to believe for you. And just type it in and we'll pray for you. These are things that belong to us because God gave them to us. When you are sick and you confess the word of God that says you were healed by his stripes on the back of Jesus, you are calling for what God has already given you, even though it may not yet be manifest. This is God's method of calling things that are not as though they were. Now, the one mistake many Christians make is that they call things that are the way that they are. By doing this, they're establishing the present condition or circumstance in their heart, mind, and body. And you know what it does? It places those things above the realm of God in your life. It doesn't place them above the realm of God in the spiritual realm. But if we're constantly looking at what's not happening, if we're constantly complaining, if we're constantly saying negative things, we nullify the power of the spoken word in our life. But God's method is to call for positive things, even though they are not a reality in your body. You call them until they're manifest. You have a God-given right to exercise authority over your body. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Your flesh wants to say it the way it is. But your spirit, if trained properly, wants to say it the way God said it in his word. Now, it may sound like there's a lot of repetition here, and you know what? There is. Because I want to make sure you get this. I'm going to say it one way here. I'm going to say it another way here. I'm going to use a different word here. Because the power of the spoken word has the ability to change your life like it never has before. Several years ago, an article appeared that was written by a neurosurgeon. The title of the article was Talk to Your Body to Rid Yourself from MS. He was using a method he called mental exercise, which involves literally telling your body what to do. Now, this wasn't a Christian doctor. This was a secular doctor. He offered examples such as a diabetic who instructs their pancreas to secrete insulin or a person with hypertension to say several times a day, my blood pressure is 120 over 80. He said it makes no difference whether the patient knows where their pancreas is or what 120 over 80 means. The body knows. That's powerful. So just think about that. Remember what the word confess means? Homo logio, the same as. Logio, logos, word of God. It's saying what God says about a situation. So when I tell my eye to be healed, when I tell that nerve to be restored, when I tell my vision to be singular, it's got to respond to the word of God. If somebody can do it in the natural, how much more powerful is it in the spiritual? Amen? So remember, if you're experiencing any kind of sickness, call yourself well. If somebody says you're foolish, don't worry about it. Call somebody that believes this. And it's based not on you, but it's based on the authority of the Word of God that you decree. When you do, you're putting into practice the principle of calling things that are not as though they were. Listen, I want to talk to you about a second concept. The first one was understanding the principle of confession. And remember what the word confession means? The Greek word, get this Greek word, homo logio. It means same as. So homo means same as, logio means the word of God. So when you confess what the word of God says about his will, it happens. So if you don't get anything else, get that. The second topic here is God's words are building blocks. Your words are building blocks that you construct your life and future with. Your words establish the foundation which you will build on the rest of your life. The circumstances of life are subject to change, but the word of God is established and it never changes. That's right, I said it never changes. Whatever image an individual has of themselves is what will influence how they speak about themselves, and not only speak about themselves, but it will determine how they treat themselves. If people have an image of prosperity and health, that's exactly what they will talk about. When I say prosperity, I'm not talking about, you know, lots of money, although, you know, I've made a lot and a little, and a lot is better. But prosperity is a condition of lifestyle. So I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, an abundance of money. But if a person has an image of prosperity and health, that's exactly what they will talk about. That's how they'll see themselves. They will live out the reality of that image they have of themselves. And the flip side is true too. If a person has a negative image of themselves, if a person doesn't see themselves as God sees them, the reality of that's going to work itself out. That's why it's so important. I know I've said this a lot of times. That's why it's so important that you get the Word of God into your heart, so that you can speak it, because there's power in that. Take a look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I love that passage. What you believe in and speak affects every area of your life. Our words become a blessing or a curse, and Jesus spoke about this very subject. Let's take a look at Luke 6:45. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So I want to ask you, what's in your heart? What have you been depositing in your heart? What have you allowed to enter into your heart? Because it's not, it will come out in terms of how it's been put in. If you put positive things in, positive things are going to come out. And when I say positive, I'm not talking about being a motivational speaker. I'm talking about the positive, powerful word of God. That's what will come out. It is clear from the study of scriptures that your own words can change your immune system for better or worse. So a continual affirmation of God's word and faith will build into your immune system a supernatural anointing that is capable of eliminating sickness and disease in a natural manner. You know, supernatural is super coming on the natural. Here's a couple of scriptures that support this thought. Job 22:28. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. I don't know about you, but I need light to shine on my ways. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Again, what we put in our heart comes out. Mark 11, 23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, will have whatever he says. And again, that's the will of God. Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And if you're planning your life with the Word of God in your heart, the Lord has such an easier time to direct you and to guide you and to keep you on the path that He set for you. Proverbs 18, 21. Just covered that one. James 3, 6. Well, let's pass that one. Let's see. Let's go to... let's go on to the next topic. There's so many scriptures here. I know you're probably getting your weekly dose of scriptures here tonight, but it's good. Let me talk to you about the third concept. Healing is a spiritual cure. God's word is perfect spiritual law. That's what you have to understand. When you get his word in your heart, it's near you. It's filling your heart. It comes out. What you're doing is you're speaking perfect spiritual law. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The word of God is supernatural medicine. Just like medicine is taken on a regular basis, the word of God must be applied on a regular basis by speaking the word of God to your individual circumstances or your situation. When we were pastoring many years ago, a woman in our church, I can't remember what happened, but she was in the hospital. And I went over to visit her. Lovely couple, loved them. And I had this intrepidation that when I walked into her bedroom, she was gonna have like Dr. Phil on or Oprah or some show like that. And to the joy of my heart, I walked in and she had a book on healing. She had confession tapes on regarding the power of the scriptures in her life. And I got to tell you, that put a big smile on my heart. Let me ask you tonight, what are you putting in your heart? When life is hard, when the sun doesn't shine and you don't know why, when you see the light at the end of the tunnel and you think it's a train, what are you putting in your heart? Let me encourage you not to put in the negativity of the world. Let me encourage you not to put into the negativity of other people that don't have this revelation. Let me encourage you to go straight to the Word and find out what God says. Jesus said in John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There's an abiding that means that we live in him. Jesus made a statement one time. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free or make you free. So you don't really hear that verse quoted like that. What you hear is somebody will say, well, the truth will make you free. Well, that's not true. Yeah, I said it. The truth does not make you free. I lived a lot of my Christian life in bondage. I understood the truth, but I didn't know it. And here's what that word know means. It means to intersect or intercourse or to become one or to abide in the Word. And when I abide in the Word and the Word abides in me, I'll ask whatever it is according to the will of the Father and it shall be done. I'll be free. I'll be delivered. I'll be healed. And so I want to encourage you tonight to get the Word of God in your heart, speak it, and don't back down from it. One night we were praying, Estelle, my wife and I, and we were crying. And she said, Mike, if anything ever happened, don't you dare say that it was the will of God. Now, that's strength. That's having the hope as an anchor in her life so that she doesn't move or sway away from it. And I want to ask you tonight, do you have that kind of hope in your life? Is the hope that God gives anchoring your soul? So yeah, you're going to sway, life's going to hit you, storms are going to come, but you won't move from the spot where that anchor is. And that's what I want for you so much. And that's what Pastor Josh wants for you so much is to live a life free of all the circumstances and situations and all the white noise that's going on, and just be clear and be focused and know what the Word of God says and speak the Word of God. And get a partner in your life. Get somebody in your life that you can call. Get somebody in your life that you can run to. Get somebody in your life that you can partner with and speak the Word of God, and they'll speak the Word of God back to you. That's what you need. When I woke up from surgery, the tumor was supposed to have been benign. And they found out once they got into my head that it was malignant. Not only was it malignant, it was stage 4. It was all throughout my body. Hit me like a ton of rocks. And I had to grip myself. And I called a couple of people. I said, man, I just got a report that I wasn't expecting. And I started crying because I was afraid. But you know, a couple of calls, a couple of encouragements, words spoken into my life. And I got up and I began to fight the way that God wanted me to fight. I began to speak the Word of God and begin to set myself in agreement with what he said. I allowed the word to get near me. I allowed it to get into my heart. And I began to speak it. And I continued to speak it. And I'm going to continue to speak it. And I want to encourage you to get the word of God in your heart so that the spoken word can become powerful, not only in your life, but in the life of the people that you love. Some of our best friends just got back from Washington, D.C. Long story, but they were coronavirus. They were diagnosed with the coronavirus. Man, began to speak. I said, man, in Jesus' name, I declare and decree that you're healed. According to the stripes that Jesus took on his back, he sent his word. It became healing to your flesh. We call this coronavirus eradicated. We execute judgment on it, and we command your body to be whole. That's how we've got to respond to challenges in life. That's how we have to respond to sickness. That's how we have to respond to disease, as well as everything else in our life. I'm just dealing with healing tonight. And this is something we do every single day. The image the Word creates in you is already a reality in the spiritual realm. I came from the ophthalmologist one day, and I was a little down because I was expecting something to happen that didn't. So again, you know, I get buffered with this stuff, and I just pick myself up and begin to speak the Word. But God spoke to my heart. In fact, I talked to Pastor Josh that day about it. And here's what I believe God said. Now remember, it says the image the Word creates in you is already a reality in the spirit. So I believe God said to me, Mike, don't be concerned. Don't be discouraged. Your sight will be the crown jewel of my delivering and healing power in your life. I just saw this huge crown just around my head with singular vision. And I want to say to you tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing in life, the image of your healing is already established in the spiritual realm. And the way that you obtain that healing is you hear what God says about it. You allow the word to be near you. You allow the word to be in your heart. And then you begin to confess it. And when it doesn't look like it's working, you continue to confess it. And when it looks like it's not working, you continue to confess it. That very popular song right now, Waymaker, says that even though I don't see that you're working, even though I don't feel that you're working, you're still the Waymaker. So I want to encourage you tonight, get the Word of God in your heart. Get it near you. Become radical about it. I've known the Lord 40 years. I'm more excited about the Word of God today than I was when I first got saved. And I was pretty radical when I got saved. Why is that? Because I've had so much experience that the Lord has led me through, both negative and positive, that enabled me to get the word, to get it in my heart, to get it close to me, and then to begin to speak it, to allow it to become grafted in my heart. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Your faith then frames your world on a daily basis. Jesus was very clear on this subject. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I know that I am repeating myself, but I think it's worth it. The good things are the word of God. The good things are the promises. Remember the exceedingly great and precious promises that enable us to participate in the divine nature? Those are the good things that are in our heart. And so because I have deposited those in my heart, because they've become grafted, I can speak those things out. And I see myself healed. I see myself with singular vision. I see that crown that God showed me that he was going to give me. Why? Because I'm speaking it out of the goodness, out of the good things that I've deposited in my heart. I'm not done. I'm just going to end right now. And the reason I want to end is because I want to encourage you in just a couple things here in the next few moments that we have together. I've covered a lot of ground. I've spoken a lot of scripture to you. I've encouraged you. I hope I've motivated, and I hope I've inspired you to get the word near you in your heart so that you can speak it out. Now, I have an e-book of this message. It's about 30 pages that I prepared. I'd love to send it to you. If you would just send a personal message there to the Facebook page with your email, I'll certainly send it to you. It's got how to apply God's word in it. It's just got a lot of information that will help you get the word near you in your heart so that you confess it. So I just want to ask you right now, if you have any needs in your life, if you're experiencing some form of infirmity, if you're sick, if there's something trying to get on you, go ahead and just type it in the little box there, send it to us, because we want to pray for you. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to speak the word of God into you so that we can see his healing take place in your life. You may be listening tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe somebody said, hey, you got to listen. You know, I love my pastor, and you log on and you find out it's not Pastor Josh, it's Pastor Mike. No worries. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's got a plan for your life. We have a saying around here that God loves you completely, and so do we. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. He's got this great plan for your life, and he wants to embrace you. And the way you do it is you just ask him into your heart. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That may be you tonight. If that is, I just want to say a quick prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you touch those right now that are watching, that have a desire in their heart to know you. Would you embrace them like you've embraced me? Would you show them your love like you've showed me? Would you give them your unmerited grace like you've given me and let them know that they're loved? And just simply right where you're at, say, Jesus, I accept that. Please come into my life. You may be in a position where, you know, you were on fire for Jesus, you were excited, and maybe some of that's backed off for whatever reason. Doesn't really matter. What does matter, though, is that you recognize it and that you allow God to give you his grace. You don't have to do anything. All you've got to do is ask him. All you've got to do is come to it. He sees you through the work, or I should say the finished work of Jesus on that wonderful cross right there. So if you feel like you've wandered away, that, you know, challenges of life have pushed you away, I just want to ask you right now to ask Jesus to touch your heart right where you are and to extend his grace to you so that you can have that fire in your heart. And then lastly, you may have something happening in your body and you need God's touch. I want to pray for you as well. I'm going to ask you right now, whatever's happening in your body, would you take your hand and just lay it on that particular place? Oftentimes when I pray, I lay my hand on my eye, and I ask my wife and others to lay their hand on my eye. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you provided healing for us. It's ours. It's one of the covenant rights that we have. By the stripes that you took, Jesus, your brokenness created our wholeness. You weren't a victim, you were a victor. Your life wasn't taken, you gave it for us. And so right now I speak into those lives of those people, the word of God that says, by your stripes they were healed. That you sent your word and it became healing to their flesh. And that they're whole, they're disease free. Every disease we command to be eradicated, we execute judgment on it right now, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, listen, again, there should be a slide up there that talks about the ebook, and there's some confessions, and there's a lot of other scripture. I want to get it into your hands. So go ahead and just send a personal message to the Facebook page, and we'll get that out to you right away. You can get the word near you, in your heart, and you can begin to speak it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.